What would you give up for your faith? Or better yet, if it cost you your life to follow Jesus, would you? I mean, look at you all here. You are in church. Many of you volunteer. Many of you donate to wonderful causes. And I hope that you do these things because your faith compels you to, and because Jesus asks it of us. But if you think about the grand scheme of things, we don't really live in a particular time or a place where it's dangerous to be a Christian. At our diocesan convention this weekend, our bishop reminded us that when the church was in its fledgling state, being a Christian meant you could be fed to the lions. But that doesn't happen today. It's also very rare for one's family to disown them if they find out that they are a Christian. And apart from a few more extreme cases, being a Christian doesn't make you an enemy of the state. Those things weren't always true. There was a time that for you to follow your faith, for you to believe and to follow the way of Jesus, your life was over. Your life as you knew it was over. In our gospel story today, we meet this character, Bartimaeus. We're told that he's a blind beggar. It sounds so insensitive to call him that, to talk about someone as a beggar, but that is what we have in our scripture today, and so that is what we will use. Bartimaeus is blind, and he begs for alms for a living. He's likely in this particular spot at this particular time precisely because he is blind. It would have been common for someone with a disability to be rejected from their family, to just be kicked out. And it was hard enough 2,000 years ago to find any kind of work at all, let alone to be able to find work without being able to see. It's not like he could go out and pick up any kind of labor job that was around. So he did what he could. He would sit by the side of the road, probably on a very popular pilgrim route between Jericho and Jerusalem, and he would ask for alms. He would beg. He would lay his cloak down on the road and collect change. His cloak was the tool of his trade. I mean, just think today about people you see asking for money, buskers with their instrument cases open, or some people with upside-down hats, or even Salvation Army Santas with their pails. All serve the same purpose, so that when people walk by, they can throw you some alms, and you had a spot to collect. And because he didn't have a family to support him, he didn't have a family to rely on, the other people who begged for money with him, they would have become his community. They would have been his friends. They were the ones that he might sit around a fire with at the end of the day and complain about all of those entitled pilgrims that just kept walking right on past them. But the very second that Bartimaeus can see, his life as he knows it is over. It's shattered. There is no going back. He lost his means of earning money and supporting himself. No one is going to take pity on a formerly blind beggar. And beyond that, this new support system that he had, as makeshift as it was with the people along the street with him, would have also abandoned him. because being a beggar, asking for money each day, was the binding element of their community. When he can't do that successfully anymore, he's out. In being healed by Jesus, Bartimaeus lost everything he had ever known. We see the same phenomenon today. If we look at so many unhoused people, when many are offered permanent supportive housing, they have a really hard choice. Being granted permanent supportive housing is a blessing, but it's also a curse because it asks you a question. Do you give up the life that you currently have? Much permanent supportive housing does not allow pets. It's not set up for families. And especially if you are a man, that might mean kids too. And so, do you leave your pet, who's been through all of your life struggles with you? Do you separate from your spouse or your partner? Do you give up your family? Do you give up your child? All for a place to stay. When you put it like that, I think a lot less of us would be inclined to follow that path. It's a little different for Jesus and Bartimaeus because Jesus promises something different. Jesus promises that whoever loses their life will gain it. And Bartimaeus trusts that. He trusts Jesus. And I think that people who have lived on the margins for so much of their life know things differently than those who haven't had to face such hardships. In her book, Learning to Walk in the Dark, Barbara Brown Taylor, a fellow Episcopalian and also a prominent theologian, talks about going to an art installation. It was an art installation that was designed to give you the experience of being blind, where you experience a world and a life without vision. So after walking in and putting all of her possessions in a locker, she was introduced to her legally blind guide that was going to help lead her through all of the exhibits. When she gets into the first exhibit, she hears the sounds of birds. She can hear the sounds of leaves crunching under her feet. So she thinks they must be in a park. There's a bridge in the middle of the park, her guide says, and she immediately trips over it and falls into someone. And when she enters the next exhibit, she hears the beeping of a cash register and carts being pushed around, and she starts to feel the shelves, and she can tell that she's in a grocery store. But then she gets to the canned food aisle, and she realizes that all of those labels that look so different when she goes to the store normally feel the same. And then her guide leads her to another room. And she steps inside and is immediately terrified because what she hears is the sound of cars and honking and chirping crosswalk signs. She's on a street and she is paralyzed with fear. Even though she knows logically that this is an exhibit, she doesn't know it, at least not for sure. It's just to operate out of a small place of trust. A place of trust that says that this exhibit is not just going to hurl her out onto the street and into the world. Onto the street where she has no means of being able to guide herself. And then she can hear her guide's voice from across the street saying, "Come on, don't get lost from the group. You gotta catch up. It's safe to cross. You heard the pedestrian signal beep." And even then, she hesitates for a long time because she realizes what so many people who cannot see have to do every day. And that is they have to trust. They have to trust that the other cars are going to stop when there's a red light. They have to trust that the person in that car is not driving and texting and is distracted. They have to trust that there's not a car making a free right turn and ready to hit them. She has to trust, and it's hard. People who are at the margins know that they have to trust, because trust isn't an option. Trust is a way to live. It's the only way. Trust is a way to survive. Trust is another fact of life, like breathing air and drinking water and eating food. And so, with absolute and complete trust that Jesus' way brings salvation, Bartimaeus throws aside his cloak, the symbol of his job and his livelihood, much to the shushing and the quieting of the crowds around him. And he says, "Have mercy on me. Have pity on me." He's saying, "Jesus, I want to be your disciple. I want to be your follower. I'm here. I'm ready to give up my life to follow you. I know that I have to give up my life if I'm going to follow you." And Jesus says, "Your faith has made you well." And from that moment, Bartimaeus followed him. Even if it wasn't giving up your life, if following Jesus meant huge sacrifice, if following Jesus meant you had to completely change the way your entire life worked, could you trust what Jesus says? Could you trust those who want to gain a life in God must lose the one they know? Do you trust it? Could you do it?